another episode of Scenario. We are back in the building. Another week, more topics, all that good stuff. Matt, how's it going on, my brother?
Yo, this was a week that was busy.
I think that's kind of an understatement.
Like, I think I felt like people continue to lose their mind, like, at an amazing pace, like, over the last week or so. But, yo, man, let people know, man. I mean, this is an audio program, but you gave up. You had the first thing I noticed when you walked in here, man, is that you had brand new haircut. Now, which one of your polygamous barbers did you go to for this cut?
Look, I won't say.
Just you went to a third one?
No.
Out here.
I ain't wilding like that. No. I'm not wilding like that at all. I just got tired of the hair, man. I wanted this to change up. I've been having grown my hair off for 2 years, man. So
has it been that long? Damn.
Yeah, 2 years.
You see, you at that age where when you grow that hair out and you cut it,
it may not come back.
Hey, it's a real risk.
Yeah, no, it is. But I got some pretty good genes in my family when it comes to hair, so everybody pretty much been pretty good about it, you know?
No risk. You just out here live life however you want to.
Basically, that's my whole plan with it, just kind of float and rock with it, you know, lean with it, rock with it.
Lean with it and rock with it. So before we get into things today, though, we gotta say that, man, it's been like a legitimate
state of emergency that's kicked off. I don't know if it was related to what we did on the show last week or not, by pointing out, you know, the errors and the flaws, and we'll get to the emails that came from that and the subsequent legal backing that we're gonna have to go
that
get.
We the legal legalities that we didn't know.
Like, yes, the things that we weren't aware of yet.
We would like that. What was it? When they said that, was that rapper TK that everybody was talking about? And they said this was his lawyer. It was a dude with some jeans on.
He was on some My Cousin Vinny shit.
Yeah, that was us last week. Yeah. Like, if you're
Your Honor, we're gonna represent ourselves.
That's the first mistake. That's the first way you know. Oh, he crazy. Or you could just try to do insanity plea with that. Like, man, I was so crazy. I tried to represent myself.
See, I feel like these days they'll hear something like that and they'll call deep ice on you. Like ice to come and get you and take you back. Like, all right, we dropped y'all off a long time ago, but we're taking you back.
So take back to Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd rather do that than go to jail?
Oh, for sure. Or Mexico.
Anything other than jail.
Any of that. Like, yeah, like deep ice. It would be deep ice. Like
deep ice. Like back.
Black
back.
Ice.
Black ice. Bice.
Oh, man.
Blice.
But, you know, so for all the wilding that's been going on over here and all craziness has been happening, Amnesty International gave a travel advisory for the entire United States of America.
So this is for the rest of the world, not for us going somewhere else. This is for other people visiting the U.S.,
literally, like, hey y'all, it's been all good, but that's not what you want to do.
If you was trying to go to come to US, only go for the Super Bowl and like big events. Don't just be over here just chilling.
Yeah, don't just be like, I'm going to the States for the summer.
That ain't cool no more. That ain't
might
hot.
Be final destination type stuff. Doing that, living that type of life.
The thing says, Amnesty International travel advisory for the country of the United States of America calls on people worldwide to exercise caution, have an emergency contingency plan when traveling throughout the USA.
This is the type of thing that they were giving off for, like, Cuba and, like, for the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. Or back in the day when they would say, like, Beirut.
You're right. Exactly.
When the people would talk about Beirut back in the day. Like,
meanwhile, everybody up in Detroit, like, y'all now, y'all feel what it's like to be here.
We've been living that all the time. Right. Shout out to Flint.
Ain't nothing. Just come up. You come up here. You'll be ready.
Travel advisory, man. That's crazy. I know some of our international listeners are probably like, for real? Like, that's what y'all doing?
The advice that they give is to be extra vigilant at all times and wary of the ubiquity of firearms amongst the population.
Basically, saying anybody could have that hammer at any point.
And shout out to not shout out, but rest in peace to the brother they got killed in Riverside, California yesterday. The brother cop.
Yeah, man, like, yesterday was like one of them disheartening news days. Like, you heard, like, the 7-year-old got shot.
Over the north side?
Yep, in St. Louis. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, man, come on. Like, the biggest thing that's made me angry is I feel like there's two sides of the coin, though, right? Because, like, on one side, you got to be vigilant about what's happening to black folks. But I feel like we got to point our finger in this mirror a little stronger, too.
Yeah.
Like, come on, y'all. We are here knocking ourselves off. If there was anything that could have brought us together, it should have been everybody else making it clear how much they were shooting for us.
But the top.
We doubling down on what we're doing to each other.
Yeah, it's got to be a middle ground somewhere. We can, but the thing is that people don't understand. I will say on both sides, we can have both conversations at the same time.
Oh, we can for sure.
But
for sure,
but some people just want to have one.
Yeah, some people just want to have one. Like yeah. You want to cape up for us, but then
or totally admonish us too. Like, oh, it's all y'all fault. Too.
Right.
We can have them both at the same time. They're right. Both two major.
All of these things are problems. All of them together. I think the last piece of advice that Amnesty International gives, though, I could have wrote this because I've been exercising this for years. Exercise, increase caution when visiting local bars, nightclubs, and casinos.
We just talked about that a few episodes ago, like not getting caught up in the holiday club hustle.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
We just talked about that.
All right, man, let's get it rolling. What we got on emails, all yo? Right.
First email comes from PT. He says, hold up, put it up here. Today was one of the funniest days that I had with your all's podcast. I got a civic lesson in the middle of a podcast for no goddamn reason, but it was hilarious to see y'all fumble over the Bill of Rights. It seemed like y'all was the messed up paralegal that just got hired at the company, but kind of was in there really because his family member is an uncle. His uncle is an uncle who is a family member is a part of the team.
That's very accurate.
But think that you finna take it to trial.
So check this out here, right? See, you got rights, you know what I'm saying?
And you trying to holler the chick in the little lobby,
mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, this all gonna be me in a minute.
That's some Better Call Saul type stuff you on right there.
And your last name happens to be on the wall too, so you can get away with it. Be like, Thompson Wilson, Thomas, the third Thomas is me.
That's me. Really, you the fourth one, but.
Yeah, not even mentioning one. Like,
right.
Like, oh yeah, that's me. Next up, this one comes from Mike. He says, you all had me bugging up laughing, almost damn near hypnotized, staring while I was on my train ride, talking about the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment. Y'all just were skipping amendments and coming back to them and putting them all together.
Yeah.
Y'all may want to actually think about how we can consolidate some of these. I didn't realize that some of these could actually be consolidated when you all start reading them off. A lot of these, and I mean a lot of them, could have been wrapped up just like into four, like George Carlin's joke said about the Ten Commandments.
Maybe we need to do a Ten Commandments episode.
George Carlin already did that. Remember, he brought
yeah, yeah, three. Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right.
Don't fuck with God. Don't hurt nobody. No, he said, actually, he's like, we can actually take away the killing one. Sometimes somebody may be worth killing.
Sometimes some cats gotta go. Yeah. Sometimes a few people need
I think
to
it
go.
Just boiled down to don't fuck with God. I think that was the whole thing is don't fuck with
That's
God.
That's the number one I'm not about. I'm not doing that.
All right. Next up, this one comes from Andrea. She says, you all didn't talk much about the mass shootings that had happened over the last few weeks. Just wanted to get you all's thoughts. What do you all think about gun control as a whole? Are we destined to be in a perpetual state of having rest in pieces and prayers with?
I think we are, as long as we continue to act like we don't have a problem. Like, on one side, we can say there's a problem, but then when everybody feels like they don't want to be disadvantaged, you know what I mean? That's where the problem comes in. So, I mean, I think we're going to be on this cycle as long as it's still regulations still are as loose as they are. You know, I think I might have mentioned that last week, saying that my problem isn't so much with the right to bear arms. It's the right to bear unlimited arms, because there's mm-hmm. stuff out here that people just don't need.
Yeah. Shout out to my one homeboy. He's like 8 guns.
Like.
Like, literally, he was showing me a picture of like all his guns. And I was like, dude, why do you need all these guns? You a doctor. Like, no, for real. And you don't live anywhere with bad crime. Like, what do you need all these
Moses
guns?
Moses asked.
He was just like, it's kind of fun, and like protection.
See, that's the thing. Like, we look at it.
And he don't have no kids. It's just him and his wife.
We look at these things like they're a hobby. And then you got other people to look at it like it's a right. But to me, a lot of things that happen with guns a lot of times, is that number one, it's just fear tactics being enabled. Some of the scariest
and
people.
He's 6'8", too, and like 340 pounds. He walks around as a weapon.
Yeah, right. Like, and this isn't just about him,
I'm saying when I was talking to him, I was like, do you walk around as a weapon?
Like, I was driving mine's car the other day, and you can tell immediately what type of situation it was, the person driving this. It had the Don't Tread On Me sticker. It had the NRA sticker in the bottom, and then it had this automatic assault rifle sticker in the other top corner saying, come take it from me. Like, those are the softest people.
Oh, super soft.
Those are softest people. Like, them the ones who are like, if I pulled up on the side of them and been like, and been like, I'll slap shit out of your ass. He would have been the first one trying to find a gun. Cause
now, hold on.
I'm being threatened.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm just pointing out the fact that if you put these guns down, you'll get the shit slapped out of you.
Yeah, easily.
I don't want to break into your house. I don't want to steal anything from you.
I just want to come outside your house and slap the shit out.
I'm just going to prove. I mean, don't got to come to your house. We can do it right here in front of the mall. Neutral
over
ground.
Over this parking
neutral
spot.
Ground for everybody. I'm just going to prove to you that I can slap the shit out of you. And then people say, oh, I got to protect myself. From what? It's just slapping the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's simple.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to damage you. But people I think the biggest lie is protection. That's an excuse. Mm-hmm.
I mean, my thing is, I just don't think. I have no problem with anybody owning a gun. I just think there's massive guns with, you know, that basically military grade.
You shouldn't be
guns.
Nothing in the streets where you can nothing walk into like into a department store and just saw people off without reloading.
Yeah, and then people were talking about, you know, the good guys help the good guys with guns to help out. The one dude in Omaha killed 9 people in 30 seconds, and the police showed up in 30 seconds. He killed 9 people.
Right. There's no good for that. There's no good for
they
that.
They couldn't do. You can't stop that as law enforcement. Even if you said law, you would have to put law enforcement.
You would have to have Superman. Yeah. And he probably going. A couple people probably going to get whacked before he get there.
Look, what you call it wouldn't even. The Homelander would have been like, "That's fucked up." Yeah, I'm gonna go get me a drink.
Homelander would let that go down.
Yeah.
But like you have automatic rifles out here that people are just sawing down whole groups of people with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like that is
when Sandy Hook went down, man. That's when it kind of was like, we ain't never gonna get this shit handled.
Right.
When motherfuckers went in and mowed down elementary kids.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, you know what, well, this ain't just like at the Batman premiere with the dude where it's all adults.
Oh, North Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah.
With something happened in West Virginia. Yeah.
You know, or any of those multitude of mass shootings that we've had. But when they let those kids get murked out, what was like 30 kids or something crazy? And like,
yeah, it was insane. It was one of the most.
That was one of the most angry, frustrating days in American history.
And when they didn't want to change shit because of that, oh, I knew the shit was never going to change. Never.
Never.
But the only way it's going to change, and it's on us black people and Latino people that are legal, we got to go buy guns.
Well, last time that we did.
They changed some laws in California.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go buy some guns maybe then. I don't necessarily want. I didn't need this to all go at one time.
No, we should go like some Jordans just dropped.
That's what I'm talking about. One day. Like we have, like, you know, where we have black. Maybe we do that on Juneteenth. Maybe because we've been trying to figure out things we can do on Juneteenth. That's it. We all black people go buy a gun on Juneteenth. All
right, y'all. So start getting your conceal and carries.
Yep.
Start getting them up. Start working on that.
Our brothers that are felons, please do not join in on this.
Yes, you stay out of it. Stay out of it.
We don't need you showing up. No disrespect. Just support us from the side. If you have a nice young lady or you are, you know, or you have a man, if you're a woman, you know, anybody, if you
however you want to arrange,
you can drop them off and help them out by bringing them to the Juneteenth gun convention.
You can help out just by standing around because that's gonna make them.
You don't have to be in line.
Yeah, you don't have
just
to be
stand
in line.
Around.
Yeah,
just stand around because it's just gonna scare people.
Show up the same way on days where it's time to vote. Just show up and be in the parking lot.
All right, man. Let's jump into these topics, man. Oh, we got my new segment.
We do have a new segment.
We have a new segment coming up. And we're going to kick it off in a very appropriate way. It's called WTFW. You can figure out what that is and where that's going right now.
So there's a gentleman by the name of... This is
and let me get the purpose of this new segment. So WTFW is basically going to be every week we're going to highlight just the craziest bullshit we've seen all week.
That's real?
From white folks.
Yes.
So it's gonna be different from this week in racism though.
That's still here.
This is gonna be like where you find Florida man and like incredibly ridiculous people doing things. You're gonna find like people like white guys playing cornerback, like getting like why was he on DeAndre Hopkins?
Like what was it, the one we had
Jason Sehorn?
No. Remember that we had like some while back, we talked about what was it, the person that's trying to take a crown roll or something on a plane or something, had to drink the whole, what was it? Wasn't it something like that? Where a woman in China had to drink the whole.
Oh, yeah, she had to drink the whole thing of crown, cognac.
Cognac.
She was trying to drink the whole thing of cognac because they wouldn't let her bring it back and she wouldn't.
She was like, I ain't wasting it. So those are the type of stories.
Resist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she laid herself out in the terminal.
Yeah,
and
then
stuff
she
like,
passed out.
Yeah. So in this inaugural edition of WTFW, there's a gentleman by the name of Nathan Larson, who is a convicted pedophile
and a white supremacist.
This
And he's running for Congress
for the Triple Crown. What is the third one that he could have if he did have the Triple Crown? We already have white supremacists. We have pedophile. What is the third one we could use?
Republican?
There you go.
I'm sure that's already taken care of.
He's got the full trinity.
He's definitely that. Well, he's not exact. He's almost a Republican.
He's libertarian?
No, it's something even stranger than that. We'll get down there. So, but he's a 37-year-old
accountant from, guess where? Charlottesville, Virginia. I mean, this is almost too good.
Did I send you the article, side note, about how all these people that were in Charlottesville are all fucked up now? Like, their careers are fucked up, everything. Like, everybody, black people that went to Charlottesville in the original, like, 10 of them are in jail for random things. Whole bunch, like
the ones, like the ones that were holding the tiki torches.
Yeah, like they just did a where are they now type of thing, and like most of them was fucked up in the game. Shout out to them.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. Good for them. Congratulations. Life does come around full circle sometimes. Yes. But he identifies himself as a quasi neo reactionary
libertarian. So not just a vanilla libertarian,
a quasi neo reactionary libertarian. His platform includes drug legalization, the elimination of all regulations regarding firearms, and putting to an end U.S. involvement in foreign wars arising from our country's alliance with Israel.
So he's like he's everything that Magneto was fighting.
It said everything.
He is 1942 Germany right here, basically.
He's like, fuck it, we going back.
I don't want to bury the lead here.
Yeah,
he advocates for pedophilia, white supremacy, and rape, and serves 16 months in prison for threatening to kill the president,
and is running for Congress now.
And rape.
Wow. In 2008, he sent a letter to the Secret Service, and he threatened to kill either George Bush or Barack Obama.
He's an equal opportunist hater.
You got to think that he's down with the
third leg of the political landscape now.
So though. He's a conspiracy. He's like
the Magites.
Oh,
he's like an advanced Magite,
or kind of like the Alex Joneses of the world.
Yeah, yeah. So this is somebody that's going to be pursuing open office, and says
people are tired of politicians being tied up in red tape and always being puppets. They want an outsider. That rhetoric is the funniest.
It's the rhetoric. It's the wacky shit.
They want an outsider who's not tied up in politics.
Okay, you see what the fuck we got.
Well, he's all for that, but I'm just saying that is Trump's most ridiculous legacy is that he's empowered all of these street corner prophets to feel like they outsiders and they're what the country is looking for.
So he's basically white people's Elijah Muhammad at this point?
Basically, yes, he is. That is exactly what he is. Wow. He is. He is the white Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Does that mean that his son going to be Louis Farrakhan?
Louis Farrakhan wasn't his son.
Well, I'm saying.
Oh, you say? Oh, no, it had to be like somebody like adjacent to
because you know that he's supposed to be the go-away favorite for 2024 right now.
Trump Jr.?
Yes. Jeez. Like they're all lining up behind him as being the savior.
Yo, man. When is the Republican Party going to come back to being the old Republican Party?
Too much money. Here's the downfall of capitalism. They believe in that capitalism.
So much.
Those things that they literally have gotten their party hijacked, and it's going to cost them too much to take it
back.
So they're not going to do it.
And out of pride, too, though. Like, out of, like, fuck it, we here now.
Well, this is where we are. And Trump just got $93 billion out of tax returns for their companies. So
they didn't have to pay $93 billion?
Well, all of the money that they took out of the increased money that came out of personal taxes mm-hmm. this year for, of course, a certain tax bracket.
Right.
It covered the $91 million in tax breaks he gave those corporations, which I said – back when it happened, I said, is that they going to get this money back. Them tax breaks ain't coming for free. That money going to kick back in, and they going to steal it. And they legally stole it from most of y'all, because I haven't filed yet.
he said they'll be stealing me from in the future, but not right now.
Mm-mm. I might just short roll that 40 over forever.
Just keep on doing other years, alternate years.
No, I might just pay $40 down like every year indefinitely until that some of that stuff is real back. Like you still owe us $50.
Okay.
You're not gonna come for me for $2,000.
No. It costs too much for you even send somebody even locally to do that.
I did forget about taxes for a long time and had to start paying them, but still.
Oh, they came at you?
Well, I mean, you just know eventually. It's better to get ahead of
it. It's better to call them. It's like you got to go see them first before they come see you.
It's better. Like, you broke that pot, so you might as well go see them. I went to go see them. All right, guys, listen. What you want to do? Let's work this out.
So it's a negotiation. Like, all right, you know I fucked up. Right?
Yeah.
That's why I came.
I was a little day. Hey, Obama took a little bit of that money from me when that stimulus ended. That stimulus ended right when I got a raise too, and it took my whole raise 1 year.
The zap up.
I was just like, "Fuck! Why is this impacting me? I ain't making shit. Come on, man.
A little bit I make."
All right, man. So moving right along,
the fall is rapidly approaching, which means that the NFL is back. What do you think is going to be the NFL involvement this year?
Well, you saw the Jay-Z thing.
Well, yes. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. But I'm just talking about from people. Because the ice has been thawing on the NFL. And it thawed heavy at the end of last year. I think
that's bad. Maybe not as much.
I think it's a lot of people who's going to be closet watching this year.
Not telling nobody they watching.
But not necessarily saying they not watching intently anymore.
Right, they're not going to shit on, throw no dirt.
You'll still have the people that were never watching in the first place saying that they on strike.
But they never was watching in general.
But like, what were you watching in the first place?
So they was watching Snap Marathon anyway.
Right.
What else
comes on Sunday?
Snap Marathon.
Huh. I've never watched anything else. I don't know.
Snap Marathon.
What the hell is that?
Snap, the TV show?
Oh, like with the dude.
Women that killed a like significant others and they snap.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
But that's what's on at that same
time. I didn't know. I really don't know.
Oh, Marathon's on Discovery ID, like murderous women. You know, stuff like that.
Is it like a lot of like paid programming and shit like that?
No, it was a lot of like those like 48 hours.
Completely alternative.
No, like investigative reporting shows.
That's about as far away from football as you can get. Completely alternative options for football.
Huh. Well, some interesting things have happened.
Already, even though we're only in the second week of the preseason. Number one, Jalen Ramsey showed up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Showed up in the back of a Brinks truck because he's trying to get that extension. But then also dropped some knowledge saying that before games, he used to DM his opponent's girlfriends in college. Yeah. He used to hit up girlfriends. That'll get you knocked now in real life. You can't be doing that stuff now.
Yeah, like you do that in college.
You hit up somebody's wife, you're going to have a whole other level of beef.
And he probably was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that no more in the league.
Yeah, no.
I think that's pretty goddamn ingenious by Jalen Ramsey what he was doing. That was some gamesmanship that I had never thought to be that much of a dick to do.
I'm not mad at it at all.
I'm
not mad.
Because he's like, he would, you know, just use it. And then, you know, then when he DM'd dude with the picture of him talking to his girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, if you're going to let that get to you and you're using that little upmanship and he's already a cornerback because the cornerbacks can't do shit no more. You got to have some kind of upper.
You got to be a cornerback. You got to talk your shit. You got to believe in it out that way. Like, if you don't believe in yourself,
then what the fuck are you doing?
You're getting rolled out there. That's what's happening.
I thought that was, like, ingenious, hilarious. Also, meanwhile, at the same time, though, there's been also the regular level of crazy that's going on.
We'll get to the ringleader of crazy in a second. But I just
do this.
Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys is looking for an extension, as I think every quarterback in the NFL does every 3 years now. But he was initially offered $30 million, which he said, nah, I'm all right. And now is not holding out because he's playing, but saying, I want $40 million a year. Dak Prescott.
This is the equivalent of the okay-looking woman that's from a small town that thinks she that fine.
This is like you guys demanding frontline bars on a.
Well, no, I mean, the only reason I say this is that she is bad because he's the best option they have right now. So I'm saying, like, this is like the bad chick in a small town.
I think that what it is, it's the so-so girl that's down with a badass bad crew.
But no, now wouldn't that be if everybody, like, that would be a situation almost.
There's no way. Let me put this
I'm saying that would almost be Troy Aikman in that situation.
No, because Troy Aikman actually won Super Bowls.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but his rest, his whole. that collective around him was Raw.
Yeah, maybe Troy made it happen. Was the wheels that made it move still, though. I mean, Troy was number one pick. He was everything he was supposed to be.
That's real.
But this is, if Dak Prescott was a quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, is he asking for $40 million?
I don't even think he's in the league anymore.
Marcus Mariota's in the league, so Dak Prescott.
No, I'm saying I think Marcus Mariota is better than Dak Prescott.
Oh, he's most definitely not.
You don't think so?
Hell no. I think Marcus Mariota on his last year, if he don't deliver this year, he ain't gonna be Tennessee. Gonna be one of the main teams looking for quarterback.
Okay,
they gotta get over the hump.
Fair enough. I just don't think Dak Prescott's that good at all, though.
Oh, he balled down.
He ain't 40 mil.
He took him into the playoffs last year. I mean, you know, he was. No, last year. I mean, he was. When Amari Cooper showed up, man, they went off last year.
I thought they went to the playoffs 2 years ago.
Well, they did that too, but they I mean, he took off and went to another level with that. But the thing at the end of the day is that the question says, is that the going rate for a quarterback?
Yes, the market will dictate that because the prices are going up in general. But I'm saying, hell, if I'm Aaron Rodgers one day, I'm like, as soon as he signs, everybody that's above him is finna renegotiate immediately.
Well, what he's done, though, is he's waited, though, because Jared Goff got his money. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz got his money. Carson Wentz got 38.
Yep. He's not better than Carson Wentz.
Russell Wilson just got his 53 and set the market up for these jumps. Yeah. So now people got to get close again. And Tom Brady and Drew Brees not taking backbreaking money because they're trying to win.
They're trying to get up out of here, too. They ain't.
And Ben Roethlisberger just took a new contract. He's pulling down 70 this year with his signing bonus included, too.
And Ben Roethlisberger is trying to keep his head up.
But I mean, the thing about it is, though, does that money, 40, when you're looking at 70 and 58 and stuff like that, it looks almost decent. I think Dak Prescott's better than the rap that he gets. But at the same time, I don't look at it and say, man, I would put Dak Prescott on the field for this drive over, like, maybe 10 to 12 other cats in the league.
Right, that's my point.
So if the 12th best quarterback in the NFL is getting $40 million a year now, I think it's almost time for a market correction.
Yeah, but like I said,
because what's Deshaun Watson going to get when his contract come up if that's the case?
I think Deshaun Watson is better than him.
But he is. But I'm saying, though, what's he going to get if the market is at if – people are demanding 40 out the gate.
$40 million, and it'd be like on Price is Right, $1. $40 million
and $1. It's interesting, man, to see what's happening with that. But that's a big ass.
But they said turn it down. Though they said supposedly they
turned down 30. He turned that down
to 30, but he wants 40.
Yeah, you can't ask for that unless you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That is a prestige position.
Mm.
That is a prestige position in the sport. That's why I said that if he was the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, that would not be the same conversation.
Does he also do you think he would be smarter to take most of that money in signing bonus instead of trying to fucking worry about
it? I don't know how the Cowboys are going to do everything they need to do right now, because they need to sign Zeke. And Zeke, like, I'm not showing up until I get my bread. See, I'm a little bit different about this. And he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, because he ain't got that many years left on the
Well, if you're a running back, get paid. Todd Gurley showing folks, get paid. Melvin Gordon said
Ty Gurley kind of fucked up the game a little bit too.
Ty Gurley got an early contract.
Yeah, and he got paid. And now everybody's dictating their contract off of that. Like, oh, well, we can get paid early as running backs.
Right, but then you see people lose the game. Like when we sat here and we talked about that with Big O, with Le'Veon Bell. I said he's not getting that 14 back. He did not get it back.
Yeah.
He had to settle for a worse deal and missed a whole year earning in his career. So, I don't know what's going to happen with that, man, but that's big money. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown. All right, so.
You know how I feel about Antonio Brown.
So, little thing, you can go for it.
No, go ahead. I've said enough about that, man.
I don't have. First, it's a helmet. Then you burnt your feet up in the cryotherapy. Then it's a helmet. Then it's you're going to retire. And then it's this and it's that. You know something else coming.
He's a fake ass dude. I'm sorry. He's fake. Even though the brother that wrote that article for the Undefeated broke down how fake he is, and all the stuff he does is fake. This is just to get attention, man. Now, I will say there's something wrong. This is like if there's a real issue with that helmet. I think Tom Brady came out and said he didn't like the new helmet either or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, okay. A couple people, but aren't they supposed to be protecting you better?
I just don't think that they like
wearing helmets, period.
No, I think they do like that.
But I'm just talking about they don't like the fact that it's regulated the way that it is and that they got to, you know what I'm saying, do some things they got
to
do.
They're trying to keep y'all motherfuckers alive when they don't have all these lawsuits they got coming up with CTE.
If the NFL's
doing anything, is that
they scraping up and making sure that they don't nobody die.
And this is the thing. They're trying to make it look safe for their court cases for the past. Like, we trying, Judge. We's a trying.
Yeah.
Don't hit us too hard. We trying. Look, we redid the helmets. Antonio don't even like it no more because we did it. Mm-hmm. Players don't like the helmet. Yeah, I just, I don't know about Antonio Brown, man. He's just a piece of work.
He's your kind of guy. He's like your James Harden of the NFL. I don't care for James Harden. He's your James Harden of the NFL.
Yeah, this is not my type of athlete, and that's fine. Look,
who's your favorite player in the NFL?
Ever?
Right now.
Man,
like, who is the antithesis of Antonio Brown? Russell Wilson?
That's see now you're going. somebody like an AJ Green or something.
Just be about that life. Just
about that life.
Why not Julio? Julio about that life.
Julio too. Actually, there we go. Julio's a good one.
Julio get paid. Julio. I like that DeAndre Hopkins too.
DeAndre Hopkins is a good one too. And he talked that shit, but it's like it ain't ridiculous shit though. It's like he talked that shit like, yo, man, I think I could do surgery, though. I'm just going to watch a couple of YouTube videos, and I'm going to do surgery. I think I'm that dope.
Okay.
That's Antonio Brown.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins would be like, I run a 4.4. Watch me. That's the difference to me.
Yeah, that's.
And he may be talking shit during that 4.4 run on that 40. But Antonio Brown's motherfucking think he could do. He's that dope that he could do operations.
See, Cam Newton isn't my kind of cat.
Is it?
No.
Yeah, some other overridden bunker.
Look like the Riddler, like the Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter too, yeah. With damn, what was with the Mad Hatter with the little thing? What was it?
Jarvis
like,
Tech had
it was
like, the.
No, it was the 8 cent that was little.
Oh
slip.
Yeah, that little you bite that little quarter.
Yep.
All right, man. So you can't round the corner off on the early NFL goings without Jay-Z being mentioned here, who absolutely just in a crazy week for the business of sports. Jay-Z stepped in, as usual.
Out of nowhere.
Completely out of nowhere. Like, Jay-Z's like a cat that can step out the shadows in a completely lit room. Like, he's standing right there. He could just walk up on you.
And he'd be like, Jay-Z was there the whole time? For sure.
So, today it got announced that the NFL has tapped him to basically be over social justice issues and entertainment offerings. Which so is just
so he gets to do the Super Bowl, right?
Which so part of it is he gets half of the control of the Super Bowl halftime show, which possibilities are endless for what he can do with that.
This last Super Bowl's halftime show sucked ass. They had to do something with that.
Who was last year?
Last year was Travis Scott, Maroon 5 and Big Boy.
Hmm. Yeah.
You gave us Big Boy You gave us no. I think what you call it is from Atlanta. I think Maroon 5 may be from Atlanta.
No, so, from California.
They're from California?
Yeah. But so what JC's going to be doing is that he's going to be, you know what I'm saying, over social justice issues, which is an incredible position to be in with having Rock. Actually, let me say Rock Nation is going to be over. Of course, Jay-Z is going to be guiding the hand there. You know, and to me, immediately I thought about this as being like, this is the initiative that the NFL announced in response to the players kneeling, you know what I'm saying, and like kind of like the objection that was shown from those meetings they had. I know at the time we was kind of like, what are these meetings really going to do? What's come out of it? What's then? I got to say, is seeing this be the return for it is a whole lot more than I anticipated ever happening.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that thing looked like it was just done. Kaepernick got his money. You know what I'm saying? More cats was getting jobs back in the league. Yeah. It just looked like it was going to be like one of them backroom deals that got cut. But that's very far from what this is. You know.
It's going to be dressed up a little different.
Jay's going to be over in NFL's entertainment options, not just the halftime show, but also, you know, production of programs, different things go out like. I think that the NFL has had to pay attention to what the NBA has done.
And
as
they
far
don't
as,
have nobody in-house to be able to do those shit like that, probably.
Well, the NFL has got to pay attention to what the NBA has done as far as branding itself as the League of the People. Mm-hmm. And you can't just look at that and act like it don't affect you.
But it's going to be hard for the NFL to brand any individual because they got helmets on.
I'm not, that's not,
listen to what I'm saying, though. I'm saying is that it's not about putting one guy out there. I'm talking about the perception of the NBA is completely different than what the perception of the NFL is.
But this is something else that I realized and I thought about, and this is, we could talk about this now, is do you think the public thinks that NBA players are more riders for black people than NFL players?
Well, by far.
You think so in general?
Oh, yeah. It's not even close.
Just even before all the drama with Kaepernick, I'm just wanting this in general.
Well, what do you mean by riders? Define what
like,
that means.
They're more, they're, are, I guess I don't want to say this, they're blacker than NFL players.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that. I mean, it's just, the fact of the matter is that their players have a bigger voice because there's fewer people, it's more visible, and it's, and it starts a longer career. I mean, it's just a lot of things that go into it.
Okay.
I don't think.
So that you don't think it has nothing to do with
it? No. No, I mean, throughout all of this stuff, unless it's just somebody who just has a, just completely out of touch, I haven't seen anybody be like them cats and Uncle Tom's playing in the NFL or nothing like that. Like, there ain't been no comparison. Nobody's lost a black card for being in the NFL.
Somebody probably has.
Well, there's somebody that probably has because they don't know no goddamn there's, better.
They can defend their goddamn self.
Right, exactly. So, I just, it's dope to see him step up with that, you know what I'm saying? And do what he's done here. I wonder if it's part of a bigger play, though.
That's exactly what I, that's what I said when I said to you, Cloak and Dagger. He doing some Cloak and Dagger shit.
Because,
like, he's finna represent all those NFL players. Like, well, they all got to get come to my thing and be represented by
I
me.
Think there's more to it than that. I think Jay want a place at the table.
He wants to own a part of a team.
I think he want a place at the table, yep.
And that's the easiest way maybe to – maybe you know what? Because maybe he looked at all the other ways that black men have tried to get a team. Like, oh, that don't work. Let me try to do some different shit.
Yeah, and he saw the opening and he saw the need. If there's anything that he's done amazingly well, is be able to analyze, you know what I'm saying, the plus and minuses of a situation and find a way to do it. I mean, he found a pressure point here. and he got into the weird place that you don't see a lot of people get to where the NFL needed him. NFL don't need too much of anybody to do anything. Yeah. Say what you will about the league. Say what you will about the sport of football.
But they don't need nobody.
At this particular junction right now, the NFL is still writing its own check to do whatever the hell it wants to
do. Oh, easily. Every day they can do something different every day.
It's crazy to see that, man. But, like, yo, mad respect. I mean, I just
– Jay-Z got a top three life of all time.
Easy, he does.
Like
– how wouldn't he?
Like, it's the – I don't know, man. I mean, when you go back 20 years – you know what I'm saying?
You got to figure it all out.
I say, hey, yo, that dude right there, Jay-Z's going to be that guy. He's going to be, like, the most powerful black dude in America.
This is 1999. Can I get us? Yes. He's playing right now.
Yes.
The dude that's on the last verse, he's going to be, like, running everything.
Dude that's out there rapping, I got a condo with nothing but condoms in it. Same place with the rhymes.
And he's going to marry that young girl from that group Destiny's Child.
Yeah. He gonna marry the Bills girl.
The main one? Think about somebody broke woke
no,
up.
No, the bad one. Because this might be like, what?
No, like if somebody woke
Cassie,
up.
That was back when Cass was arguing over Destiny's Child.
I mean, I don't think there's no question that Beyonce is the baddest one, but
yes.
Whatever.
I don't think there's much to talk
but no,
about.
But no, somebody broke up like in the thing from 10 years, like 20, it'll be 20 years ago. They're like, Jay-Z is with Beyonce?
Who?
The girl from Destiny's Child?
Who right now? Mm-hmm. In 20 years, it's going to be like, what the fuck?
Ooh, Donald Trump.
Nah, man. I'm talking about for the culture. I ain't worried about him. 20 years, he going to be in the ground.
We're going to be asking it about Kojak Black, a.k.a. Kodak Black.
Like, he's going to big power?
No, I just think he's just going to be like, wow, we was really listening to that.
Oh, man, yeah, listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about somebody who gets to glow up like Jay-Z. Who are we going to be talking about?
You're talking about the opposite. I thought you were talking about
talking about the fall off. We're talking about Jay-Z blowing up. Ooh. Like, who's somebody who got a chance to... I think LeBron is the easy money.
Yeah, LeBron's easy. But they're so secluded. J. Cole and Kendrick are so secluded as MCs. Jay-Z was really, like, trying to live life like that and be out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's the last cool lifestyle rapper, I'll say that. Oh, no, Rick Ross is still here. But I would say, in general, Jay-Z the last cool lifestyle.
Jay-Z's definitely the best lifestyle rapper of all time.
Yeah, because you got to think, like... Jay-Z lived in different times, different sets of people. And he was able to figure that out. Like, I need to be on all these tracks. I need to be all these people. So that hustle was a whole nother ballgame.
That's interesting to look around and see who's
your peers in your class, like around then?
No, I mean, I don't have no peers that are breaking in right now. I'm talking about just, like, who's got the ability to take off like that. I mean, I've got peers, sure, that will be, you know, 20 years and they're 55 will be able. Well, hell yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
you got 20 years equity.
Still be young, you know what I'm saying, yeah. And still making things happen. Young girl, you ain't old. You're not old when you're 55.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting, though, because I think the guy, I mean, the game 20 years ago, I mean, the game is completely different than what it was.
Man.
Now, you know, everything is different.
It's ridiculous with it.
I don't know. I'm interested to see that. I'd like to hear some people's thoughts about that, man. Yeah. Send me some people that y'all think got the chance to ramp up and really go out here.
Hey, I'm with it. Let's
like,
do it.
Who really could take off? And I'm talking about all aspects of life. Like, who's really on to make a run? Like, you might not. It's impossible. It's impossible to predict, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
because he was the most least likely to succeed out of his class.
LeBron James didn't even exist on the main culture sphere 20 years ago.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I guess he's the easiest one.
Maybe Lewis Hamilton. Yeah,
I was
going to
say, damn, he's the same shit.
Yep.
Because he's attracted to women, and he's in a sport that needs a kind of jolt of U.S. interest, or at least some people from looking like they're from the U.S.
Maybe my man Mbappe just takes off into something crazy. Mbappe, legendary.
It's got to be somebody U.S., man. I thought it was going to be Jose Altidore, man, like for the U.S. at one point.
Supposed to be soccer. Freddie Adu, too.
Oh, that's one of the biggest busts of all time.
Yes,
Freddie
for sure.
Adu.
Absolutely.
He's definitely the one of the biggest busts. I remember we were kids. They were hyping him up on Sports Illustrated Kids and all this.
Oh yeah, he was huge. He was like Zion right now, like Simone Biles or somebody crazy like that. Like he was on another level. All right, man. So yo, while the sports business is going on and how it's been, you know, what I'm saying, hitting black folks. So last week or so, Rich Paul has been in the news heavy because you know Rich Paul definitely is on the summer as far as shaking up the NBA, making moves.
You think that's what it is that Rick Ross doing?
Rick Ross or Rich Paul?
Rich Paul, but Rick Ross is now part of this somehow because he was saying, like, I help something to do with bosses, help out other bosses. So I was like, really? You have pulled NCAA? I doubt it, man.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Ross. We appreciate you.
I know your album dropped this week, though, Ross. That's why you said it. Gotcha.
Do what you got to do, bro.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you that you're sitting up here promoting that.
Do what you got to do, man. But then, so the NCAA had passed a rule briefly. I mean, it felt like for like 36 hours that you had to have a college degree in order to represent players.
And like the kicker, though, is that you got to get vexed by some organization. They could do it through that.
What's that?
They remember you had to have a college degree. The only thing they took off was a college degree. Mm-hmm. The other one, you had to be vetted by like another panel of people, and then you had to have passed all some other like 20 classes or something like the.
So what happened last? So what the rule was last week? The memo that the NCAA put out outlined certifications, including a bachelor's degree, the MBPA certification for at least 3 consecutive years, a personal liability insurance, and completion of an in-person exam taken early at the NCAA office. But you got to have the MBAPA certification to represent players
anyway. Yeah,
because
they're sitting there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he's got to have that to do his job.
But even more funnier is, go read them again, read them one more time. It was one that popped up. So you said college degree.
The MBPA certification for at least 3 consecutive years. Professional liability insurance.
What if what do you think about that in this?
I mean, I've got liability insurance to be an advisor of my fraternity. So, I mean, that's as easy. That's as easy as calling progressive. You get that. That's an umbrella. That's an umbrella policy. He's straight. That's just to cover your damages if anything happens to you. So, I mean.
To cover your damages in case shit.
He's straight. The bachelor degree shit was the most foul shit about it. And I like Rich Paul's response to it saying, so you think that.
Motherfuckers is not going to just not. Because it's only to be able to talk to them while they're in college, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the
gives us a portal. So I could, if you, after you apply for the draft and you are fully in, I could holler at you then.
As long as you stay in.
Yeah. I just want to stay in.
So, I mean, yo, the thing about it is that I love what he said about saying, so
what
people get 4-year degree, that means they got a great moral compass. You're acting like people that don't have that is the case. Like, there's a higher moral compass for it. I was like.
Like, people, look, shout out to Bruce Pearl over there at Auburn.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Getting that work in with Chuck, was it Chuck? Yeah, Chuck Pearson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they was out there. They was out there printing bread.
They was out there. They was like, we going to pay all. It was like that song by Babyface. I'll pay your rent.
Not Whip Appeal.
Yeah, no. As soon as I get home.
As soon as I get home.
Yeah. But that's how they be.
Them songs blend together for
me. Yeah, they do. But that's how they be with the recruits.
Yeah.
As soon as I get home, as soon as you get off get on your official visit, I'm doing all that.
Singing to a nigga while you tying his shoes, looking him in his eye.
You know you won't come to Kentucky.
You pulling a cat's socks up.
I wonder how wild a Kentucky visit is.
Hey, shout out to dude from Vashon.
He signed with number 33 player in the country or something
somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I wonder what, because he signed right after he went on his visit. So some shit went down.
He got that Ray Allen visit.
And think about it. It wasn't even cracking then. School wasn't even in. So
shit. Summer, shit.
I know, but I'm talking about, but it wasn't like that cracking beginning of fall.
I don't know about how it was in Iowa State, mm-hmm. but summer Columbia was way harder than the school year.
Really?
Not even close. Not even close.
Really? Wow.
Ask anybody who went to Mizzou. Okay. Summer is where it's at.
Yeah, no. Ames, it was that town was ghost town in the summer. It was all about being there during the school year. It was crazy.
School year was like the after party.
Damn. Okay. Well, then maybe Kentucky could be on that shit.
Yeah, I would probably think so.
And they like, that's a part of the, one of the reasons I do want to have a son. Maybe is just go on recruiting trips. Like, I just want to see.
You know, you could do that with girls too.
Yeah, but it's a little different. I recruiting visit is going to be a lot. That recruiting visit is a lot different than the one I'm looking forward to.
Go ahead and put that work in, bro. Get that sun cracking.
Getting too old, man.
Go adopt one, man.
I do want to adopt a white kid.
Oh, shit.
Hold on. Yeah, you never heard about this whole thing? You never heard about this?
Hold on, Tyler. Mm-hmm. I just am picturing your family pictures.
Yes. And I'm gonna let him think he's black until he's like 19.
God,
he's gonna get his ass kicked a lot.
Have you ever seen The Jerk with Steve Martin?
No, you need to
go rent that movie.
Okay.
You need to go rent that movie.
I'm gonna put it in my notes here.
Off Amazon or whatever you need to do.
Let me see what it's on.
You need to watch that Where are you flying to?
Texas.
Watch it on the way there. You can get it in.
Okay.
And as soon as you finish, you text me. You need to watch The Jerk and watch what happens when that happens.
Okay, because I'm gonna have him braided up. I'm gonna let him be.
You gonna turn him into NSYNC Justin Timberlake?
But a little bit more hood though. More of Vanilla Ice.
Mac Miller.
But remember when Vanilla Ice had dreads?
Mm-hmm. Is that when Suge was shaking him out?
No, he got shook up when he had on the shiny clothes.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking when he had the dreads, when he had that song, Roll 'em up, Roll Up the Hootie Max. Really, he's talking about smoking weed on the song. Yeah. Y'all real hip-hop people, y'all know, I know y'all dying laughing in your car right now.
That's...
Or if you haven't, look up Vanilla Ice, Roll 'em up. And I will show Matt a picture of how nice look.
I remember that. I remember that. I just haven't thought about the song in forever.
Yeah, that's how my son's going to look. My white son's going to look.
Okay, well.
And I'm gonna let him say nigga and stuff too.
No, you're not.
No, that's him. I'm gonna tell him he's albino. He's always ass kicked a lot. I know. Why, he is.
You're one of those people who create these mass shooters. You better realize that's in his DNA somewhere still.
You said I'm creating a mass shooter.
You are. And it's gonna be one that goes and shoots up a bunch of white people, and you're gonna be like, what the hell?
You're gonna feel accomplished somehow, ain't you?
No. I don't want no Betty be done. But I would, you know, then one day when he in college, right before he go to college, like, hey man, I got something to tell you. You know, and you sitting there and you getting ready to leave, like the whole moment. Yeah, so you give him that last hug, like, you gonna make it.
What is this, Lord of the Rings? is this Star Wars Episode 4? There's nothing left for me here.
Yeah,
come with me, and I'll teach you the ways of the Force.
Raheem. You're not black, man. Yeah, I know. This, since you in college here, I think you might want to fall off on the nigga word.
Man, you should name him Daryl Jr. Let him take your name along with him.
No, I don't need that. Don't need that on me, though. All right, it would be too much for white people then. I think Raheem is a lot in itself.
Moose Johnson got by with it.
His name is Raheem?
No, Moose Johnson, Daryl.
Oh, no. I was saying that they would identify know who the daddy was. I'm saying about him being a junior.
Oh.
That's what I was saying. I was saying that I was trying to connect him away from me just in case I have to run. Like, that ain't my kid.
This is an elaborate scheme to ruin somebody's life.
And also, I figure at some point, he would be able to get me out of shit. Like, I would be actually raising my savior.
Yo, so you think you're going to get a white card?
Not like a, like a probationary one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about.
I'm trying to go in the back door.
I'm trying to think about who fills in that space. Like, who's a probationary white person right now?
OJ was there.
No, I'm talking about an actual white person.
Oh, we mean like that their whiteness is up for probation?
Yeah, like they could be, it could be revoked.
Robin Thicke.
Really?
Yeah, he's been with the black girls for a long time.
I mean, that's not frowned upon in that society, though. I'm thinking about somebody who's
yeah,
like,
but I'm saying, but he don't just have a black girl. He be having black girls.
Jeezy?
No, because Jeezy does cocaine and stuff still, whatever. Like, he does white drugs. So, like, he's fine.
Okay.
Peyton
Hillis used to play for the Browns from Arkansas.
I forgot all about him.
He was a white running back on the cover of Madden. There's been two white running backs on the cover of Madden.
Went, then we forgot all about him after that cover too.
Oh, there's been two white running backs on the cover of Madden in history.
It was Allstar, right?
Yeah.
But Allstar seemed like he voted Republican though.
He's in Florida.
Peyton Hillis is like he votes Republican too. I'm looking at a picture of him.
I think it's probably fair to maybe 85% of the white people you look at.
Over voted Republican.
I'm more or less.
I mean, no.
There's two things. Like,
well, we could go 60% from the last election.
So, like, one of my favorite pastimes is looking at people now to figure out if they vote Republican. It's almost surpassed, does she ever went out with a black dude?
Ooh, that was the old school game.
That's my favorite game to play still. Has she ever gone out with a black dude?
I love that game.
It's my favorite game. It's one of the biggest. It is the biggest. Not even one of. It is the biggest mystery for me.
Trying to figure that out.
Yes. Just trying to figure it out. Like, and I.
Someone be tripping you out. You'd be like, damn, I didn't know.
But I never want to cheat myself and just ask, like, straight out.
You want it just to happen.
Like, I just want to find out. Like, that, it brings me so much joy when I just find out.
Or, like, when you hear a name like, I always mess with Terrence. And you just like. Now, she's messing with a real, real old white man because Terrence used to be white.
Terrence Stamp.
Yeah, Terrence used to be an old white name at one point.
General Zod.
Yep. But now it's not. But yeah, so shout out to
Chauncey.
Everybody that loves to do that. Chance.
When I was going out with Chauncey back in high school or in college, that's my favorite game though. That's
some real shit, right?
It's my three favorite games that have to do with white people are you a Republican? Has she ever dated a black dude? And does he drink cognac? Did I tell you that got answered?
So we found
I found a white dude that drinks Hennessy.
Where?
He is from U City, and he plays.
That's kind of a cheat code.
He plays in no. But it isn't like he was hanging out in my neighborhood.
So he's on
like
the southern part.
He's over here where I live now.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But it's he plays. Oh, what does he play? He plays instrument. He plays like jazz.
Okay, that makes sense. He was drinking.
And he hit me. I put it out there on Facebook not too long ago about a thing. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Saying I want to do something like this to find out with the white people to drink Hennessy. And they drink cognac. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then he popped up. His name David Grimman. He said. He said. Man, I love a good Hennessy. I was like, man,
we've been looking for you for a long motherfucker.
I was like, yes.
And I don't even drink Hennessy.
He was the number three starter on my high school baseball team. My senior year. He was a junior, and he was starting pitcher. He had nasty ass changeup. Shout out to David Grimman, man. We gonna drink some Hen together when the class of 2002 has a reunion. You come in town, I'll come to your reunion, and we'll drink some Hen together.
Oh, he doesn't live anymore?
No, he lives in California.
Oh, shit, okay.
So,
if he's lived here, he'd be on the show already by now.
Oh,
we would have drank Hennessy with him.
You said we'd already had him if he lived here.
That fills one of my dreams of sharing Hennessy with a white person. Yeah. Like, my perfect day of feeling like everything is good between me and them now and everything like mm-hmm. that, besides the DNA that I share with them, is that I share Hennessy with Dave, and then I find out that there's a girl I know that date black dudes for a little while, and then I find out that somebody isn't a Republican that I never met before.
All in the same day.
All in the same day. That would be it for me.
That would be it. That's a hell of a... That's a...
I would join a tennis club after that.
What is it, the Ice Cube song?
Today is a good day? Yeah. I look up and see my name on a Goodyear blimp after that?
All right, man. We got some more really important business to get to here, man. And
we get our main topic.
I'm gonna put this. I'm gonna put this to you before we get to the main topic. I'm gonna put this to you. Chick-fil-A is introducing macaroni and cheese.
Popeyes has to figure, like you said in the text message. Like you said in the text message, Popeyes got
to
figure this shit out.
So there's a lot of levels to this decision that they made right here. Okay, because Chick-fil-A is good in the hood. With black folks. Big good. Like, there's no question. Like,
there's nobody that's going to be able to beat that.
Like, people's loving it. But could they pass be up for questioning if they macaroni and cheese?
It's questionable.
It's on the fence.
It's a big risk with them doing this macaroni and cheese. A part of me thinks it's probably going to be fire.
A part of you, I think a part of you wants to think it's going to be fire.
The only reason I'm saying is that they know. I think they're not stupid in their marketing. Even though they're Trump supporters, they're not stupid in their marketing to know.
There's enough franchisees at this point that I'm.
Yeah, there's black. That,
I feel like there's enough black franchisees.
That would have been like, yo, you know, we're going to have to taste this.
Like they had a big meeting and they talked about it.
That's what I'm saying. They got a franchise meeting like, hey, we're going to have to taste this though, man.
Hey, I don't eat macaroni and cheese. Let me just put that on the level. I don't.
Wow.
It's one of my, I can't even imagine. I don't eat it. That's going to make the emails blow up, I know. They coming. Come for me. I don't eat
mac
it.
Mac and cheese.
However, I have been told by my father, who is a 100% African-American man through and through, that the best macaroni and cheese he ever ate in his life, made by a white lady.
Wow.
And a white lady happened to be my grandmother. And he still be wanting that recipe when my mom's put it together. That's one thing that can get them he chatting and rapping and chopping it up. Hey, yo, she made some macaroni and cheese. Like, oh, for real?
I'm coming through. I'm
gonna just check and see how she doing. So, white people might be able to spin up. I mean, what is your experiences with white macaroni and cheese?
It's been hit or miss. I've had some great macaroni and cheese from white people, too.
See, so I think this could be a unifier for them. But in mass quantities, how does it carry over?
That's the thing, though, is that if it's made in bulk, I don't know how about the bulk situation.
That's always a dangerous
It loses flavor take. In bulk. Anything like that moves flavor in bulk. So I don't know.
So what are the odds here? But first of all, when are you going to get it? Are you going to go try it?
Definitely try it. I'm not going to go out of my way to try it.
Okay.
But if I happen to slide by the Chick-fil-A, you know, I'm going to tell
you. What do you get? Do you get that with a sandwich?
That's what I was wondering. Like, is that a side or is that its own meal and then you get like waffle fries with it or something?
I think it's like a side.
Maybe. Okay.
Would you want macaroni and cheese and waffle fries?
No, but I mean,
that sounds fucked up.
You probably can get
a lot of it, like get something like that, like a family size. Or something.
Yeah, that's real.
But no, I do think again, it raises the stakes even higher on Popeyes to come with it, because like Popeyes going to come with like some Cajun macaroni and cheese or something.
Yeah, they're going to step it up though.
They're going to put the Cajun sparkle in the macaroni.
They need
and cheese.
To get the sister that's on the commercials and get her back there.
Get her working.
Get her on the with the little. With the science project in the back with the elements, the macaroni elements going back there and get it popping.
I would like to see a war between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes and, you know, churches and assert themselves and something like that. Churches fucking around and have some okra.
Some cheesy okra?
Yeah.
Like, we got cheesy okra, though.
Like, we got okra. We got some hog mog. Like, some hog mog? I mean, what?
What'd y'all do? Is that sanitary? Like, how long are you supposed to keep hog mugs?
I mean, you know, they are the ones bagging up them peppers back in the day before that was even a thing. Churches are so bootleg. Like, they'll fool around and, like, had the big pickle.
The big,
a spicy pickle with, like, a peppermint or something like that. Like, what churches?
They got the macaroni. We got the big pickle.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
9 out of 10 people say they want the big pickle.
It's like, first of all, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
don't ever talk to me like that.
Right, don't say the big pickle.
If you look me in my eyes and say big pickle, we got to fight to the death. Like, this
I
is,
can't let you get up out of here.
This is Mortal Kombat, not Street Fighter. Somebody got to go.
You more than bruised up, it's a fatality.
Exactly. All right, man, so I'm going to leave this corner to you right here.
Yeah.
Coming to America, too. Coming to America.
Yeah.
It's coming to America.
That poster that's out is fake, though.
Everybody. No, I know.
Yeah, but I'm saying some people are trying to say it's a real one. It's fake.
But the hype.
This is.
Is hitting.
You know what? Eddie is setting himself up for a hell of a run to end out this millennium.
Eddie's setting himself up for the Michael Jordan 95 comeback.
Yes, because Dolomite comes out in a few weeks. That looks awesome.
Which looks incredible.
And he's setting up for, then he's somehow doing stand-up, so he's probably going to be doing that in between after he shoots Come to America, messing around with stand-up. In
that
between.
$70 million make more sense now if it includes Dolomite and stand-up.
Yep.
Because Eddie's 25 movie.
Yeah, standard.
Like, you ain't, he ain't getting up off the couch for anything less.
He probably ain't even taking a meeting unless he had an escrow one.
Exactly.
You got to have $1 million in escrow just for the meeting. But everybody's back. I'm talking about Sherry Headley, his wife, Cleo McDowell. The only person that's not back is, I believe her name was Madge Sinclair that played the mother. She passed in real life.
Oh.
Because she also was the mother in Lion King, the original Lion King.
Okay.
But she is the only one that, I mean, they got everybody. They got Vanessa Bell Calloway when she was just known as just Vanessa Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Before she even got married, she was just Vanessa Bell. You know, Bark Like a Dog.
Mm-hmm.
The wrench in this that's kind of gangster, and I appreciate Eddie giving this man this look because he's funny as fuck on the low, and he's a great actor, is Wesley Snipes.
Arsenio going to be in it.
Yeah, he's okay, back. Yeah, but I'm talking about the extra little hook.
Yeah.
Is that Wesley Snipes. Because Wesley Snipes going to be funny as hell.
Is James Earl Jones going to be in it?
Yeah, everybody's back but Madge Sinclair. Ola, the dude that's saying it's your queen to be, he back. So everybody that is alive is back. And also, shout out to the one that gave away Vanessa Bell Calloway. He played...
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He just passed a few years ago.
Hmm.
I forgot his name. He played in the Uptown Saturday Night movies,
mm-hmm,
as the villain. But he's not in it, obviously, because he passed. But anybody that's alive still is in this. The way I think they could do gangster with this, this is my script idea for McDowell, or Cleo McDowell. Because I'm specifically trained on Cleo McDowell here.
Mm-hmm.
That Cleo McDowell has just made an empire off of biting off other different bigger companies. Like Amazon. But he should be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they got the, it just be bites of everything. Like, he just made millions and billions of dollars just off of biting off of other people's products.
Fish filet. Not Chick-fil-A.
Fish filet.
Fish filet. And be like, but hold up, there is a fish filet. And he just,
and he's like, I got a copyright for it. He just has a whole room of just patents.
Yeah.
Of just all these different companies, knockoffs of big companies.
Doing it with that inheritance. But it sounded like Eddie and what's her name, wasn't going to be together no more? Like, she came back to the States or something? Like,
it's when Sherry Headley?
Yeah.
No, he's supposed to mess with one of the girls from the club that night. In part one, it had a kid because the kid is 30.
Oh,
his daughter is like 20 that he had with Sherry Headley.
Okay.
But she's like the daughter that, because he never had a son, so she always wanted to be like the kind of dude.
Oh, I got
that's
it.
That's what they said in the synopsis, like the real synopsis. And Jermaine Fowler's playing his son that's in
hey, you knock something off in the club.
Yeah. Which one, though, is it, though?
Yeah, hey, I don't know.
It's got to be the group one. The group. I'm into the group thing. She was bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you can see Simi and him being like, look at it. Remember, they looked at each other like,
yeah,
we could do this, right?
That's true. That's true.
What if it's Simi got to both go in there to find out, like, who it, like, at the beginning, like, we got to find out whose kid it is on some, like, Maury shit.
Oh, no. They, I mean, this was back before the travel ban, so, I mean, they was able to,
go freely if they
wanted to, yeah.
But I'm interested. At first, I was like, man, why are we doing this? But this is how you do a sequel, though, people. Mm-hmm. You bring everybody back. What sequel do we know where they brought everybody back? It's only like one or two I can think of offhand where they brought everybody back and it ended up being good.
The Avengers?
I was talking about like more comic. I was thinking comic.
Oh.
Bad Boys 2.
They bring everybody back in that?
Everybody came back.
Taya Leone wasn't in it.
Okay. I mean, fine. She can go. She was replaceable with me. We brought in Gabrielle Union. That was an upgrade. So I'm not mad at that one. But I'm saying everybody else, like, normally they're like, the wife won't be in there. You know, the captain won't be there. They even had John Sally come back as a regular worker.
John Sally's in the TV Bad Boys joint.
Oh,
right,
he is?
Now.
With, with
Jessica Alba and Gabrielle Union. Yeah.
Okay, I haven't peeped it. But that's how you do a sequel. Because they had this was probably all set up for over a year, I think. I think this was all conspiracy. I think they rolled out. I think they had everybody locked down. before they even announced this, but just start rolling out over time to keep the hype.
I hope they make a Wakanda joke. Talk about them over there or something like that.
Ooh, like, this ain't no Wakanda.
That would make my life.
Dude, man, they got to show some more Zamunda, too.
Yeah.
I want to show a little bit more of Zamunda. Like, Zamunda having some other stuff. And Cleo's got to have McDowell's there. Like, franchise in Wakanda. Cleo McDowell is the key to this being funny to me. Because you can go so many different levels with him and, like, just make it funny, ridiculous with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a timeless character.
Yeah, that's a timeless character. And you got to bring back, like, the preacher.
You know, I need Randy Watson. I need everybody.
Yeah, everybody's got to come back.
Randy Watson got to come back.
Is Randy Watson seeing at... They do like a picture. Maybe they don't necessarily show him, but they show a picture of Randy Watson singing at his daughter's 16th birthday. Like a thing like, we even got Randy Watson to come up for the 16th birthday.
Randy Watson. Randy Watson better be in it. That's all I know.
But I'm hyped for it now. Before I wasn't, I'm hyped now.
Speaking of things I'm hyped for, I'm excited for America's favorite segment.
Let's get it.
This week in racism. You brought this one to me this week. it's incredibly sad. First of all,
this is not good. This is not a feel good.
This is not it. This is just a really, really y'all. This week in racism.
Yeah. So this white savior, as she probably would even want to call herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get her pull a name up here.
Renee Batch.
She basically did some volunteer work over in.
Uganda
for like a few months. Then like said like, you know what, I'm gonna come back and actually set up my own clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Now she didn't have a college degree either. She only had graduated high school because she did it right after high school. She didn't have a high school degree, and then she pimped it out and got a whole people to donate, and she basically set up a hospital, and over 100 kids died from being in her hospital.
Because she didn't know what the hell she was doing.
It was a nurse that left because she was like, did you just put an IV in that kid? She was like, I mean, we ain't had no time. And she was like, that was the beginning of her leaving, wanting to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was another case where she was like trying to get more props. So she was writing blogs about how amazing work she was doing, putting herself on blast about what she's doing and not being a doctor. So the Ugandan government was like, oh, we need that paper.
Mm-hmm.
But then she left.
If there's a place you don't want to go fucking around at, it's Uganda.
Idi Amin.
I mean.
Can we just keep it 100% on level here?
Yeah, just the audacity.
Like, that's who's more arrogant that's made this segment? The dude who tried to go, the dude that went and got killed over on the indigenous island, or her?
I think the dude on the indigenous island.
He might be the dumbass of the year.
Because that dude.
I can't wait to do.
He went once and got shot at and then went back, remember?
Yeah.
He had a warning. They gave him a warning arrow.
Yeah.
And he turned around.
He had the white. He thought he had the white privilege force field around him.
Exactly. Yeah. You already got warned the first time.
Yeah. And
then,
true.
You know what I'm saying? If she goes back to Uganda and tries to do some other shit, then she could be in the running. But this dude got a shot and said, I'm going to try to come back and still convert them.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck out. And the government already told you not to do it.
So international terrorism basically is what this is.
Yeah, basically.
And that's what that you decided you're a doctor.
International whiteness.
International whiteness. Yeah, is that the crime?
Yeah, international whiteness.
Import whiteness?
Imported, man. Because like why would you
imported? That's 105 cases of imported privilege.
She was getting millions of dollars and stuff shit too.
Mm-hmm.
From people. You could hire one doctor and have them go, and a couple of nurses, and just have
this
them
is home. The fire festival of medicine.
Now if the doctor told you like, hey, this is like, put in a thing and this is how you do it, and under his direction, that's different. But you was just walking around here like you Doogie Howser and shit, and you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you on ER like you George Clooney and shit, like.
Yeah, I mean, you house George Clooney.
Yep.
Any of that shit. You think you truly, truly think that this is like what your calling is, to come and save people like that?
That white savior, man.
Is that realness, man?
All right, man. Well, topic of the night. All right, man. Let's get into the main thing of the night, man.
So we kind of got to this through something that came to my attention here. And see, and I don't want y'all turning on me when I say I'm about to say, because I know this is a fan of the favorite of the culture. But hey, you got to call some things out for what they are sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I was scanning the internet this morning on Instagram, checking stuff out, and I see for probably about the 12th time that I've noticed this in the last year, Angela Rye, who is, you know, who has a great message, who puts her stuff out there, really, you know,
she's down for the people.
She's super down for the people. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that in a second. just spinning off like some real dismissive answers to people on Twitter. So it's like, it's almost like, but then the people that was pumping her up, she was all about it. But anybody like, that asked a question,
jock, you had to jock them jock straps.
Yeah, like anybody's asking a question or saying anything else, she was just out there just shooting them down. Like basically that person that's at, you ask them a question and they say, you should read the invite. Or, you know, oh, did you not read the message? Like, or can you just answer the question instead of that?
You know, just like, oh, hey, it's at 8 o'clock.
Right. But
or you could have been slick about it and been funny and been like, I mean, it does say 8 on there, but it's all good, you know. Right. Or something like that where it's like, oh, man, you're right. It was on there. I didn't see it.
No, my bad. But instead, you're just sniping folks down like a time right there. Time right there. And so we thought about this, and I was like, but, you know, if you go back on the internet and somebody does something like that, they got some notoriety behind them, you know, the militia going to get you. The fans going to get you. A black woman, if you say something crazy to a famous black woman.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, Doc.
Trust me, you don't do it.
It's a unique place to be a black woman because it is absolutely, without a doubt, the most underappreciated demographic sect.
By far.
But if you challenge that in public,
sorry for you.
You getting taken down right now. It ain't happening. No other way. So it just got us thinking about, I think that's petty. I think that's petty to not answer people questions, to be like, I'm only going to act this way if you.
Or just let the people in the comments respond and be like,
yeah.
It's even like, if they're being a dick, that's like, it's 9 o'clock, it says it on the flyer. Most of the time, you're people in the comments.
Yeah, like, you
don't have to get after people for
it. Yeah, you don't have to bring yourself to do that. You know, sometimes people just going to ask questions. Sometimes people ask questions because they're interested. Like, that's a thing, it's like kind of like showing support.
Like, hey, what time is it again?
Like, yeah, man, tell me what time the thing is. If I had a dime for every time somebody asked me a question or something that I just brought out.
Hey, man, where I get your podcast from? Wherever you get the other podcasts from. And I'll be like, man, you know, jump on podcast. Where'd you get where you done your podcast at now? Oh, I download them on Podbean. Oh, what are you on that?
It's on there, man. Just check it out. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's the you can do it that way. Or you can be like, it's a 6 right there. Like,
it say iTunes on the damn invite.
Like, damn, bro, you say it right there. It's the name of the show is the iTunes show. Like, you could just
answer it. But anyway, it got us thinking about some of the
essential degrees of petty.
Yep.
And so we've broken out. How many we got here? It looks like we got about 7 different standpoints in petty right here. So
the first one I'm going to introduce is one that I think everybody can relate to, and that's mama petty.
Everybody got that mama.
Mama petty would get you because your mama has absolutely no filter when it comes to addressing you and will put your business out there.
The streets.
And you'll be looking like, why are you even talking about that? And you're like, why are you questioning me? Because like your mama, if you're playing spades, your mama got a handful of jokers. Or twos, if you're playing that. She either got jokers or twos. She got the highest score possible for everything you put out there.
All the time, too.
And she will play it.
With the quickness.
Yeah, like there's no...
I'm worried about embarrassing him. I'm not going to do this. Oh, he got all this. He doing this, and that. Like, mom, you got to quit telling that. Somebody going to rob me.
Fast, mom. You tripping.
Like, your mama will be petty.
Yeah.
And then don't say you can't do something.
Oh, it's over then.
What you mean you can't do something?
Oh, but you going to go out with your friends, huh? Mm-hmm. But you can't do that?
It's just a genesis of all of that stuff. Then they start guilt tripping you when you get past that point. You know, you get older, if you guilt trip me, like, well, don't worry about me then. I'll just be over here.
I guess I'll fall out and pass out and die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mama, you just want me to bring you some Pepsi off. What's that got to do with you falling out and dying? Well, I mean, you know.
My blood sugar.
That's what I say, my blood sugar. Like, I'm sure that Pepsi doesn't get your blood sugar back right.
I mentioned this to you, but, you know, I know you busy, so you ain't. That's what people say when they really, really getting you. I know you always busy. Like, what you? So it's on me.
It's all my fault. Okay.
Anybody says you always busy is trying to put it back on your plate. Anything like, okay, you do.
I got you.
Give me one petty story, something petty that your mom's did to you.
Man, my mom was with Pepsi like that. Those are all true stories. Those are all true stories about Pepsi. 100%.
My mom's was disciplinarian. So she was a teacher too. So I mean, it was like all different levels of it. But I remember I got suspended once for doing something. Who knows? And
could have been anything.
I was just at the house sitting around like, all right, well, I guess I ain't got nothing else to do. Guess I'm gonna hit the game. I go turn on that PlayStation 1. Ain't nothing clicking. The lights on. I'm looking at it like, what's going on? Thing popping. She took the wire that connected to the TV to work with her. Put it in her purse.
It's going to work. It's not even hidden in the house.
Took it to work with her.
So she got it in her purse.
Right.
Right next to her like a gat.
Right. And if it's one thing you're not getting to while they are aware, you ain't getting to that purse.
Woman will wake up if you put wrestling around in your
like
purse.
Like the Undertaker. She'll sit up on your ass. Pop right up. Right. Sit up, roll that head over, and be looking.
You can be
right
doing
a whole
anything else. You can go in the bathroom, throwing up, anything.
Roll them eyes back in her head.
You like, what you need? What you need?
I don't understand women's purses. That's like a black hole in the universe.
That's why I'm normally, if I'm looking at anyone for like, just get out. What you ask me?
I don't want to go in there.
No, because I'm gonna move some around and see some shit.
I feel like a purse is a reason. A lot of the times about why I'm late to stuff.
100%.
Because you got to take a purse apart and put it back together and lay all the shit out. You got grenades laying on the bed and smoke bombs and
everything.
An extra cape. And it's like, what? All that is in your purse?
Every piece of it.
All right, man. Next level of petty. Mm-hmm. That person that sits in the right turn lane when they're going straight. Hey, I don't hate nobody more than them. I don't hate anybody. There's nothing that happens on the streets.
And this is a two-lane.
Two-lane street.
And it's
they going straight. They can't sit in the left lane. You got to sit in the right lane when I need to turn right here.
And you just post it up.
And
they're not even going to go fast to go around the person on the left. They're just going to be going slow just in there in general.
Just go ease on in there. Don't do that. Don't ever be that person.
Petty.
And
don't
if it's one of them lanes that goes left and right, I don't care. Just don't be in that lane because the people coming up behind you can go right.
And they want to.
Yeah, bad. Like, they really want to. Like, they probably, like, you're slowing down their life because they know they can go right there. The next level of petty, sibling petty.
Yeah, I haven't had too much sibling petty, though. Oh, yeah, I have.
Let's get the definition.
My brother used to break some of my CDs and stuff. Like, I don't want to let them.
The definition of sibling petty is like, people that do consistent small things to annoy you your entire life. Like just...
Oh, well, then that's not it then.
Things happen. Like somebody that does something, you just like...
Why did you do that?
Why the hell are we still talking about this? We've been arguing about
this. Oh, you
mean
like something like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Like something from 89. Yes. Like, you remember when you took Teresa from me? Like, God damn, we was 8 years old.
And bringing it up and stuff like that. Like your siblings are the biggest extremes in your life. They're going to ride for you if they good ones.
Yeah.
They're going to ride for you, but they also are going to put you out there. Like, they'll tell the story. Like, you getting married, and they get the microphone, and you be like, oh,
here we go.
Shit. This could be bad.
That's exactly what it could be. Because then you look at it also as them not getting over anything, I guess, too. That's what me and more than anything. Like, yo, I'm just going to hold you on this month.
You just forever.
Forever. Fuck it.
And then there's older, younger petty, too. Where like the younger ones just pester your ass because you'll do it
like, man, just do it for me, help me out.
And you remember what life was like without them, kinda.
Ooh, how feel funny, how chill it was.
Mm-hmm.
How free.
And then you got older petty too when they just beat your ass.
And I used to do that though.
And like, and be taking your stuff and you can't do nothing about it. You'd be hella frustrated and your parents are just worn out of having to deal with it. So you just gotta deal with this. That's sibling petty.
Sibling petty is a petty that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Oh, it's the eternal petty.
Yeah.
It keeps coming. All right, man. Next level of petty. This is maybe my least favorite level of petty.
Okay.
Passive aggressive petty.
Yeah. This is like the Kawhi Leonard petty.
Okay. Well,
because before you was like, why? He never said anything. He was like, no, everything's cool, man. But lo and behold, his uncle, his manager's mind, like, no, we trying to leave. They be like, is everything cool? No, everything's cool, man. No, we good.
And then they couldn't find him for 5 months?
Yeah. But no, I'm just chilling.
Are we talking about San Antonio Petty?
Yeah, San Antonio Petty.
Yeah.
And then also even the Petty of the Clippers Petty almost to an extent. When he went to me, he's like, hey, man, I was kind of thinking about coming though, but if y'all don't get Paul George, you know I won't come. Oh, well, we can't get it. Oh, it's cool then. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then he left. They said he left the meeting, and they were like, oh, he's going to sign with the Lakers maybe. And then he called him back. He's like, no, it's cool though. Don't worry about it. Like, Lakers said they'll get him for me. Don't worry about it. that's the petty I'm talking about right there. Don't worry about it. And it's always usually the calm motherfucker. Like, don't worry about it. It's cool.
And see,
it's a woman too, and they fed up with you too.
The passive aggressive argument petty, mm-hmm. where it's like you sitting there and you looking at that attitude, and even that when it comes to women, you can feel that attitude aura.
You feel it through the phone.
Yeah, that attitude aura.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like you sitting there, and you just like, you know, I'm right, and you refuse to let it be. You're going to drag this thing out until somehow, even though I am right, I'm going to concede not being right because I'm tired of dealing with this shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a petty right there. That passive aggressive petty will get you boiling.
That's that Cold War petty.
Yeah, there we go. That's another, actually, that a Cold War petty could be another name for it.
That's the next level. That's like the bullet point underneath passive aggressive
petty. Right up under Cold War petty. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you just not talking to a motherfucker,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but you talking to him.
When you talking around him.
Yep. Hey, tell Chris, man, that when you, to come
you,
and see me.
When you sitting there getting talked about on the phone.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a bad one.
And you be sitting there and you be like, yeah, nigga, are you talking about me?
I'm right here. Yeah.
And then you go up and you say something and then they be sitting there looking like, you don't answer that first time.
Girl, this motherfucker sitting right here. Let me call you
sit,
back.
You sitting there. What? Or when they sit there and they look at you and like you have acknowledged that you're talking, but now they just not saying anything. They just sitting there looking at you like, yeah.
And you just asked out.
And you sitting there like, man, what the fuck you
talking about?
Who you talking to like that, man? You know, people used to get flexed back in the day for acting like
for
this.
For less.
Man, you know, you pushing it. Whatever, nigga.
What we got next?
All right, man.
another extension of that. Your text left on red, petty.
See, my phone doesn't show it, so that's.
But you know, but it's metaphorical though, too.
Yeah, you know that they read it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like you text somebody and you can see them, and they just looked at it and put their phone back in their pocket.
Ooh. Like, hey, man, I'm up in here. See them look at their phone, they put it right back down.
That's that sniper rifle, petty.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that you made. That motherfucker might die petty. Like, that's the beginning of a mass shooter petty.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, that's the beginning of a mass shooter petty, especially if it's a woman that did it to him.
Oh, yeah.
And his name is Earl, and he was meeting her from Tinder. And he was like, I'm here. And then she looks over and see you and then put the phone right down.
Swipe eyes.
Ooh. But you saw that she saw you and knew you didn't look at the picture you put on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Have you ever did it? I did that before. I internet dated when I was in New York.
No, I haven't used that app for.
And the girl did not look nothing like her picture, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm walking in." And I was kind of like maybe like half a block away, and I saw her go in. I was like, "I'm just not going in." And I just literally turned around.
That's that Gilligan's Island petty. You left out there.
No, she was calling me like, where are you at? You said you were close.
I'm right over there.
Never responded.
You
never.
Standing in clear sight like Jay-Z.
I'm like, I'm out of here. All
right, man. Next level. This is the next to last. So we up there. Like, this is like Goro or like.
Before Shang Tsung.
Or like Saget or something like that. This is that pile on petty. Mm-hmm. Now, this is gang warfare. Because this is when. You put something out there, mm-hmm. and you let other people do the talking and the hating. When somebody make that passive aggressive post about you or say something, and you be like, "Hold up!"
Oh, well, this is the screenshot. Guess what they said to me in the text message.
And then other people out there laughing at you and shit. And
is it worse if they don't know who you are, or is it worse if your name Chris is sitting right above there in for the text message?
I think it's worse if they don't know who you are, because then you got people you know jumping in on it.
And then you're like, damn, that's how you feel about being you, but they don't know, so you can't really get mad. Right. And then you don't want to reveal yourself, be like, damn, that was you.
Damn, bro, why was you?
You a sucker like that?
Sucking MC shit.
Yeah,
dog.
What the fuck was you doing?
So it's a. But then the next level of pile on petty though is like when you let your minions do the work. So like
a lot of celebrities that do this. The Beehive.
Yeah. Beehive is number one.
The Rihanna's Navy.
MAGA.
MAGA's number two, probably behind Beyonce.
Yeah.
And then what is the Barbs for Nicki Minaj?
They out there. Fans of the Barties. Fans of your same team.
Oh yes.
Who be out there either caping or overreacting?
Are wanting to fight like we saw on We's Watch Ridiculous. They want to fight. Shout out to the Cleveland Browns fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just off of GP. Just because you were a visitor to their stadium, they want to fight you. Like I can't go to a game at another stadium.
Apparently not in Cleveland.
Fuck out of here, man.
So, all right, man.
I'm gonna let you take the ultimate level of petty.
Yeah.
The petty arts have been perfected.
He is the petty patron saint. I don't think you can get any pettier. And I'm sure there may be even people pettier.
Petty God.
And if it's somebody more pettier than this man that needs to go on the Mount Rushmore petty with him, please email us.
I'd like to see a petty Mount Rushmore.
A petty Mount Rushmore?
Mount Pettymore.
I'd like that Mount Pettymore.
I like that. Mount Pettymore. The great Fofty, 50 Cent.
He's perfected the art.
Yeah.
I mean, he got Floyd Mayweather again this weekend.
No, Floyd came at him first. But he did. He actually, you know what, y'all? He actually uses all the stones of all the different other petties at different times.
He
uses all the other ones at different times. He used the passive aggressive one on Floyd this time.
He took it to another place with what he did.
Because Floyd went in on him. I don't even know what Floyd was like, these are the reasons you suck. And he was like, no, champ, you are the champ, man. I, you know what? I'm not trying to do this with you and everything. And then at the end he goes, man, somebody from his team read this to him.
Hashtag positive vibes.
Floyd is losing. Floyd, I know you ain't never lost a fight in your life, but you losing these against 50.
Yeah, his record almost 500. Right. Floyd like 50-47.
Yeah. Only person that been able to withstand 50's attacks is Rick Ross.
Yeah.
When he was coming, and he was real petty with Rick Ross. He found a sex tape with Rick Ross' baby mama and put that out there. He was getting real petty with Rick Ross. I thought his career was going to be over, though. But that was the sustainability of Rick Ross.
That further solidifies the fact that Rick Ross has the most Teflon beats of all time.
Exactly. Because he came out with Deeper Than Rap right after that. With all them fire beats and with the Fire Nas feature. John Legend on there. You know what?
Give me the most fire beat you ever got. Look. I got to rebound real quick.
Justice League, y'all stay up overtime getting me these beats going. Don't you see he talking about me? Only way I'm going to be able to get past this is if I got the best beats. Ever. Maybach music, cigar music with Jay-Z. He was just killing it on that Deeper Than Rap. And that was the same time.
Yeah.
That's what the dark petty arts. 50 is like the Doctor Strange of petty.
50 probably had already peeped that game. He ain't gonna let you get to that point.
He's got like the Aya Agamotto around his neck.
He's seen this move before already. He took a nice kick with that one. You can't do that one again. He's like a Taskmaster. You can't do the same move over and over again against him. You can get away with it once, but he already know what you're doing now.
That's true. I had to learn that the hard way about the Taskmaster on the game.
On the Spider-Man game, it's hard as fuck to beat him.
I never beat him.
You never beat him?
I didn't go back and do the things again.
Yeah, he's hard as fuck.
I downloaded all the DLC and it overrode all that. But I did finish all the DLC.
Though. Oh yeah, I finished. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I gotta play the DLCs. I haven't played the DLC. I beat the game itself.
But it's dope. I think it might be the best superhero game I ever played. It's either number for non side scroller, like X Men is number one forever.
Right, the one with multiplayer. Yeah, X Men is an arcade.
That's the greatest game of all time. Yeah. But it's
Turtles in Time was dope too.
Yeah, Turtles in Time is dope too. X Men is my.
You're George Jones.
That's a special place in my heart. I probably given. Me and Javon was talking about that at last week. He said, man, we probably got like 50 grand out of our parents and quarters to play this shit. We could have created a whole nother life. Where is they getting all that money out of these quarters from?
Oh, man. Thank y'all for listening. As always, email us, straightolc@gmail.com. Let us know if anybody else is petty we missed. And and even if it's like a family member, just give us the description of why they were petty.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did that was petty. You know,
I need them Mount Petty Moors, man.
Yeah, we need to add some people to that. Thank y'all for listening as always. We'll be back. Peace.